the manner in which the provincial commissioners are setting up when we visit provinces, it's so encouraging because you feel so good to see people who will even dedicate the whole week to go with the committee until we finish on Friday. It's very encouraging. That makes us feel that here are people at work, people who are ready to really shape the future of this country. Colleagues, I didn't ask your permission about this, but let me be specific. Commissioner Bessa, for example, the Northwest. What a wonderful guy. When we're in the Northwest, you could feel, because at some point, when members were asking these kind of questions, he was there even to assist his officers in responding to these questions. Even in KwaZulu-Natal, with Uba Mungiti, he was with us the whole week as well. Free State, what is it? Is it Lucas? No, what is it? Free State. Marshall. Yeah. You know, so this, even in the Pope, Sengani, and then Director Fori, for example, that's dynamic woman. Is she still there? Director Fori. Oh, what a wonderful woman. I mean, she was outshining everybody there. You might even think she was the provincial commissioner, the way she was so good. I deemed it wise, Commissioner, that you know, we are known to be people who don't appreciate, you know, who are only looking for faults. But I think let's give credit where it is due. We were well received by your commissioners, and they made our stay in those provinces. That was wonderful. We just want to convey these things. If you can just inform them that yours truly is happy about what you guys are doing. Yeah, on that note, I have noticed the hands of Honorable Emmanuel, all of us. Okay, in the order of it will be Manyosi first, and then Shitega, then Zizi, then Dr. Van Heerden, then Ntate Moseki, then Darren West, then Because West, is your head up? Oh, you want to sleep, okay. I'm able. Fielding. This one. Oh, it's a sweeper. Yeah, and then Comrade Novello Mac. Yeah, it was Manyosi, Shitega, Mzizi, Dr. Moseki. Yeah, in that order. As I said, colleagues, because exactly at 1, we are adjourning this meeting. Exactly at 1. If it happens that our questions are not responded to up until 1, I think, as usual, one mind in the department will send those responses in writing. Because I was warned that members had want to rush to the airport to carry their flights. Some of them, I think, flight at 2, 3, and so on. I won't even face you, colleagues. So, but exhaust all your questions now, because there won't be any second round. I know the department is ready for us now. Benegal.
Thank you, Chair. I just want first to say that we thank the SAPS for this comprehensive report. I think throughout this week we have been receiving impressive reports, save for one or two, but for security reasons, I won't mention which one. let me first say that with regard to the mandate, policy mandates, legislative mandates, just to say that in future we should drop Act number 108 because apparently the Constitution is not an Act of Parliament. And therefore, it's no longer Act number 108. It's the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, and it ends there. Secondly, at page 5, the presenter spoke about acts of ill discipline. Can we be given examples of those of acts of ill discipline by members? Secondly, several months ago we passed the Firearms Control Act. Can we now be given some information on the effects, positive effects of having that act in place in the form in which it is? And it seems as if emanating from the State of the Nation address by the President and the budget speech, it seems as if government and the increase that we see and that has been presented to us, it seems as if government is serious about preventing and combating crime. What I would like to hear is with those 2.5 million cases per year, I'm not comparing them with anything. Can we be told as to whether crime is abating or crime is not abating? But my comment being that the seriousness of government in preventing and combating crime is demonstrated by it's not only talking but also doing in terms of offering increases in the budget. There is also the 7.5 vehicles that have been given to our police station. Of those, I don't know how many, I would like to know how many have already been damaged. But my main question is, how do we deal with the problem? The problem that when you want a vehicle, when you call the police in a rural area, for instance, to attend to somebody who has committed a heinous crime, they will say there are no vehicles. But if they are tipped that somebody from Port Elizabeth is moving from Pondoland with some bags of Dacha, they will be there within minutes. You say people are fighting there, no vehicles. There is Dacha there. They will be there within minutes. How do we deal with that problem? I'm not saying they must not be there within minutes when it is Dacha, but they must be equally there when people are being killed. There is also the issue of, which is good, the issue of new reservists. Their problem, and their outcry seem to be resolved. But there are also hospital guards, which to me are performing functions that are more or less related to those that are performed by reservists. But hospital guards' conditions of service are not there. I would say they are not there. They are not there. They are also looking after criminals that are in hospitals from the police cells that are in hospitals, and those some of those criminals are very dangerous people, and they are just there, barehanded, and they are looking at them, looking after them. What is happening with regard to hospital guards? Then the other one would be with regard to the issue of inavailability of adequate members of the judiciary or of the prosecution, which is a matter indeed that can also be addressed through the joint meeting of the cluster. I have seen allocations that go to the cluster, to cluster projects, but is the cluster effective in your observation? That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, for his reference to the department when they are responding to know who asked what, that was the Honorable Manyosi. Thanks, Honorable Secretary.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, to the benefit of the Commissioner, the Honorable Member who just spoke, is coming from Eastern Pondo, from Pondo. Therefore, it's an area that I'm told produces the finest jaha. That economic high quality. And they say that when you put it in the hand, you get some fat. You can see some fat after you remove it. Therefore, you know that's the best and highest quality. Yeah. Now, he's lobbying us here to say we must come with a law that decriminalizes Dhaka so that we can use it as an economic activity. That's why he was raising that question. That's the context within which he raises the question. Commissioner, I think we appreciate the presentation. I join those that have said, and it was quite extensive. I'll start by asking questions that are related to the basics, or the basis for certain things to happen. The first question is as to whether have you done an audit that says how many police personnel do we require in South Africa? Meaning that you are able to say if you have in every 3,000 people, you must have a police person. That type of an arrangement. And if so, how far are we in percentage terms in reaching that target? The link to that is an issue of resources. Have you done an audit to say that for this service to function adequately, we require X number of vehicles? Full complement. And if so, how far are we now in percentage terms in reaching or realizing that target? That goes to breakfast for the members and all other logistical resources that are required. If you can tell us how far are we, so that we understand this thing in totality, not in a piecemeal process. The other issue is around the laboratory forensic services. It's a problem. It's a problem because they are centralized, cases don't move fast. Then you find that impacts in the justice system in terms of cases, the backlog and so on. Is there any program of decentralizing the forensic services? Maybe it will be in all provinces or whatever that is done to ensure that this service is responsive to the needs of the population so that things can happen
in a particular way. The other matter is around the intelligence-driven policy in terms of the budget allocation. It is minimal, to my view, the resources allocated to intelligence-driven policy, comparatively speaking, because to me, you find that police vehicles, they patrol what you call discipline policy, which might be necessary. But criminals tend to know that we know that if it has gone this way, it will come back within an hour or in a particular period. Therefore, they commit crime once it passes. In my view, I think if we strengthen the side of intelligence to know what is happening where, I think it will be better because it will be targeted in a way you police. Now, I would like to hear the opinion of that because I would want to hear, because in the past, the police had the capability of taking an NK soldier who entered a particular street at a particular time, and would know what happened to that capability in terms of intelligence. But they are very powerful then, the what was it called? The SAT. Very, very capable in that respect. Have we checked back to check what was making to be like that and what can we do?
They never found me.
Well, then you're an exception. The other issue is once you're moving to e-docket and so on, are you scanning documents? Because one of the fundamental things, that technology, you are able to scan things, whatever you have to scan it, so that it doesn't get lost. As we have cases that get lost and so on, these issues that get lost. The last point here on this round is around powers and functions of the province. What is allowed to be done by province? That is in relation to appointment, in relation to discipline, and how far is it decentralized discipline? And in relation to managing a province, we had areas that were phased out or were disestablished. What is the impact of that? I think we can check that in hindsight. A link to that is a change of the shift. You know, the shift changed at some point, where the police were saying, no, the shift change might cause some discomfort and problems in terms of transport because sometimes you must come twice and all that. In that, what is the situation? Having implemented the program to date, the last area change. The commissioner has gone, I suppose, to different countries to look at the World Cup. What are the requirements that you think will put us in good stead to manage the World Cup? One of the major things, which is a major trade during that period, people drink in public, which is a criminal offense in our country. You get arrested for that. And secondly, people, they get into prostitution because they stay here for long in a country, right? It becomes something important. Now, in terms of discussion here, what is the view on those matters? Thank you, Chair.
That was the Honorable Sicelo Shicega for his reference. Honorable Muzizi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the presentation though the commissioner thought that it was so elaborative that some of us were sort of bored. Not so indeed, sir. Yeah, it was actually extensive, but it was an eye-opening. One could listen more and more. Yes, what I have discovered in my listening, sir, was that I think the presentation was in twofold. It was for the budget, but in the other presentation, which the commissioner came in and enlightening some of the items, I felt that those interventions that he made, they were very valuable. But to me, I don't think it was for public consumption. It should have been probably a workshop where you wanted to empower this committee to know more about these things. Because if it has now become a public consumption, it's going to be screwed, it's going to become a sort of, that the commissioner was there and then saying this and this and this and this and this. Valuable information came in his intervention, which is, I think, with your permission, that if we could request him to enlighten us of all these things so that when we go for an oversight, we know exactly what to ask and where the public could actually benefit of what he has been saying. Jefferson, coming back to the presentation, among other things that came up prominently, it is the training, and we always talk about training and training and training. Commissioner, if I may probably solicit your wisdom, you started with the case of Hillcrest. Now, I think you come up very well when you say there's a confusion in that some of the people are gay, some of the people are lesbian. Now, it is the same thing, the dilemma I have. I think they should declare these people, so that when we detain them, we must know who is a male and who is a female. That is the dilemma we have. I think you understand what that is. But sir, there's another case that I think is going to remain in the eyes of the public. The breaking in the Home Affairs in Pretoria. That case, to me, sir, when we talk about training, those people whom I have seen there, I don't think they are an apprentice. The first thing when you phone the police about breaking in any property, the first thing they say, don't touch anything. They talk to a civilian person. But now a police officer goes there knowing that exactly that all I have to do is to cordon the place. And make sure that nobody enters it. They start filtering with everything. Worst of it, I don't know if the media is capturing, right? They are still in the employ, and they may defeat the ends of justice if they are still there. That's what the media says, that they are still in the employ. Well, your comment probably must, probably wouldn't enlighten us, but to me, a peace officer of this era still do not know. What is the function? It becomes, that thing is going to remain with us for quite some time. It is going to be difficult for us as MPs going out that statement in the media explaining to people. How dare can we trust the police? So that is to solicit your wisdom on that one. The other thing, sir, I'm a bit perturbed. The sexual offenses. We have passed the civil union law. When I say we, I cannot exclude myself. It's against my will, but it is there. We have. So, I think the problem lies there with me in the sodomy case. If there's anal penetration in a woman, it's rape. If it is an anal penetration to a man, it's not a rape. What is what? If the sodomy is a crime, why then is defined if it's a penetration in the anal penetration in the man, it is not a rape. That is what the Constitutional Court has pronounced.
Now, what are the police actually, how do you interpret that verb for a layman like myself to be able to ask them to tell the people? Because that is something that comes way back. Now, yeah, probably if I may solicit your wisdom.
Not
a I'm talking on behalf of a layman now. I'm talking to those people who are not yet. Yes, I said, or that's what you said. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Ah, we go on. Yeah? Let it on. I'm on the right on track. Jefferson also, when we come to investigation, there's the commissioner saying that, yes, the Metro Police, they do things with them together, and that's fine. Sir, in my area where I come from, that is my Egru lady. I've had a number of cases with the Egru lady, which actually downgrade the facts. I'll cite only two cases. On the 29th of January this year, there was an accident where a person was knocked down. The Metro Police came and took all the statements, and the case was not even registered in Chokoza Police Station. But however, at some stages it was registered and given an OB number, which we're no longer using the OB. What happened there, why I am actually critical about this case, the person was landed in hospital, the person died. The case was closed undetected because they did not even ask the complainant at that time, whereas the Metro Police were with the people, all the information. They had to phone me here and said, we cannot make a headway. The problem says that when the Metro Police, when I was there, said, call her to come here. She came and said, here is it. It was discovered that now it's registered with a different number. The person has died. The case, when it was reported, it was reckless and negligent driving. The person has died. Nobody knows about it. It is the who? The Metro Police. The other case, the Metro Police shot at women who were actually making the gathering. The matter was not even mentioned at the police station at that time. It was not in court. But when, at the second time when I went to court to investigate this, the case was closed, undetected, by the Metro Police. So I don't know who is who here. Whether they really have to, in my understanding, whatever they do, they must consult the police station. And that's where things should be done, not in their own police station. Chairperson, the other one, it is the, they talk of building and other fixed structures. Now let's talk about building. The same area where I come from. The police station, which I have been spearheading it, that we should have a police station. I think you know Toronto, we have been there. That police station to me becomes my white elephant. They cannot complete it. When I asked to say the inspector came, there are faults. And if you go to that small police station, all valuable documents are just exposed to the public. And I don't know how they cope up with dockets. And dockets, most of the dockets, they end up not lending anyone in court. What is the problem if we do? I'll tell you, sir, what happened. If it's public work, you're doomed. You're not going to make headway. We were in KZN, I think, in our visit. Sure, you will correct me. I think there was one police station which was actually built by that. It looked like a police station, among other police stations in the KZN that we have visited. Yeah. We felt when we went there that they told us that this is our staff, not the public service department. We're thinking everyone. Woman. Chairperson, may I then conclude in saying that the police fails in very instances regarding the money that is allocated to you and the chair that will spend the money up to the last cent in the right direction. That stands probably much to be seen when we do our oversight visits. You go to the police cells, they will show you the leakage, they will tell you that and that. Now, who's responsible of these maintenances if you do have actually resources? Is it the public works still? Or if that be the case, what are you people doing about this now to make sure that even other police stations, you go there, a police officer doesn't feel home when he or she goes into the office. Feels that, look, it's just as good as going to probably let me go and spend my time somewhere else. What are we doing in order to improve the situation in the working environment? The monies that we have, those are the comments that I may have. But the budget, I think it has been well covered. What remains for us to see when we go out and make comparison. Your budget says you've done this and this and this. Let's see. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
That was Honorable Mzizi, can I recognize Dr. Faniyate?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we should be grateful to the Commissioner who alerted us about white-collar wearing people. Maybe we should go to Brazil one day, the committee. Chairperson, just two questions. The one concerns police bail. The Criminal Procedural Act provides for police officers up to a certain rank to grant police bail. But it's rarely used, Mr. Chairperson. The other day we listened to the inspecting judge, Nathan Erasmus, about correctional services. And I asked him about the same, and he concluded, you know, that the matter of police bail is rarely granted. I happen to appear for certain accused in certain cases, and I really think that the police should use granting police bail under certain circumstances, as long as the person has a residential address, how humble that address may be. But I think that's a very important matter. That will reduce the trial waiting accused of people incarcerated. That's the first one. The other one is, last time I asked the commissioner about promotion of police, and then he gave me a very acceptable answer in connection with, you know, the police in promoting people need to take into consideration the matter of race and gender and so on, and we accept that. But there's another matter that I just wanted to get a reply from the commissioner. I understand that in the United States, they've got a system career passing, which means that a person can stay as an investigating officer, be that a captain or an inspector, in the same rank, but he can proceed in that regard by means of increases. That means that he can remain an investigating officer, and Chairperson, there are many very, very able and very dedicated and efficient investigating officers. And it's no use to promote such a person and take him out of the system, put him behind a desk so that he can do some administrative work. Just the question then is, will the minister, or I beg your pardon, will the commissioner be willing just to listen to such proposals of career party. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Van Herbe. Can I now call upon Honorable Museki?
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, and let me join those who have commended the Commission and the team for the good work that they are doing and the brilliant presentation that they've made to the Select Committee. Just a cross-cutting comment, Chairperson. Commissioner, we have observed recently where I am deployed in the constituency's border in Israel. I suspect that I'm just suspecting that when you left the country, you went through my constituency. I know a number of people have done that. Now, in Border in Botswana, it looks like that area has been identified by criminals, especially those who are stealing livestock as an easy route to committing the cross-border criminals. That is a very serious one. Well, not one. An example of that, what the report that you received from Health last year from the Social Security was 141 livestock that were somewhere in the swamp, just over 100. And I reasoned about 26 of them that they went through that. I'm just quoting those two, but there are so many of them. One critical or strategic challenge that we have discovered is that the police unit that is dealing with that car is not up to scratch. I'm using the word "I'm not up to scratch" for traffic. I also learned that some of them have been suspended because they were found to be part of or networking. But that's one part. The second part is they are small enough. They're not able to cope. But of course, in our own interaction with them and the community, we found also that their relationship with the community, especially the sector that I'm talking about, is not going. It's not up to scratch. They're not really relating with those people. And I think that's something that matters. Linked to that, Commissioner, is an issue of the pullout of the South African Defense Force from the border and the coming in of the staff. I am not very sure whether in that area the South African Defense Force has pulled out along those border lines. And if they've pulled out, has the staff been able to close or to be deployed in areas where the staff are stored? I know one area linked to that is not necessarily your competency, it is public works department. The fences are down. And that's what made that area. The fence, the border fence are down. And the fences matter with our food. That's one part that I thought I must talk about, Chairperson. The second part is a dictator. Another specialized unit. In the police stations that we have visited in the north, from Rustenburg up to Lakenberg, one common problem that has come out in dealing with crime is the strength of your detective unit. By and large, there is an outcry that unit is not up to its strength in terms of personnel. As a result, personnel and the capacity of doing their work, which leads to some of the problems like withdrawal of cases and so on. I would want the Commissioner to say something to that. I think it would be very good if you can hear what are you doing about it, because I know, as you say, the Chairperson, During that oversight, we were working with a provincial commission who is very, very helpful, by the way, and very cooperative at all times. Sometimes I phone him, please, my chairman, to tell him that we have picked up this information, that people are doing the same. And he just responds. It's a very good commission. And one element that we're picking up is that of the resources like your vehicle that seems to be creating problems. But the personnel also with regard to your uniform unit. I'm happy to say that we have actually chartered a commission with the support of National Commission to deploy the personnel that we have promised to deploy in Mozambique Police Station. But the challenge still remains with processes like your vehicles that are relevant to work in those conditions. But they say sometimes vehicles that are given to them are not coping with the travel roads and other conditions. Those are the problems. And I think Commissioner, these are the areas that we are dealing with. But also you must appreciate that during your outreach program, I think you visited some of these areas, you might have on your own, if you have problems that are there. I think those are the broad questions. They don't sound like questions, they're very broad, but I think the commission is able to understand what I'm asking. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. That was Ramoseki. Ramoseki from Northwest, as I said. Can I recognize the person who, in whatever he's saying, if cheaters has won from this stage, in that meeting, he'll be talking about cheaters all the time. But now they're doing so bad these days. I don't even hear about cheaters. Honorable Darrell West. Honorable Darrell West, over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and I'd like to thank the National Commission and his department for the detailed presentation. I miss also, by the way, Colonel Jacobs. I don't know whether he's retired. Him and I wish he's there running engagement on the firearms control bill. With regard to our questions, our first one is I would like to know, I don't see any figures here, but I would like to know also, A, the backlog with regard to firearm licenses, with regard to renewals, and B, with regard to new licenses. Then I want to also carry on something which has been in the press recently, crime statistics, which are very important so we can measure how SAPs are doing at any one stage. The figures were always released in August, September, which were then about 6-7 months out of date. I believe they're now going to be released from March, which is fantastic. It'll help. But what I would like to know is what frequency are these going to be released? And I believe there was also something in the paper with regard to they may, SAPS will, or is considering releasing figures per area, an area or city or town if possible, so you can see where the hotspots are, and everybody would like to know in the area the prevalence of crime in that particular area. Next question I'd like to ask is, in the small rural areas, there are a shortage of personnel in the sense that there's, I'm talking about Free State-wise and the smaller Platteland towns, there's sometimes only 3 people on duty at a time at the police station, and there is limited, if none, no rural patrols. It's supposed to be sector policing does not take place. Comments on that? Our next question is with regard also to the press lately, with regard to the cooperation SAPS and private security. According to the press, private security cannot arrest a person. I take it they can apprehend. I don't know if you like to use the word apprehend, and then must phone the police to come and do the arrest. I'm not quite sure. And I'd also like clarification. If there is going to be cooperation, there's been talk about it, in what way can it be done? Private security guards, private things, in guard police stations, in certain instances. So are security now going to guard police stations? Or where does the private security come in? Where are the grounds for cooperation between the two? Another comment from Free State, there's a little town, dorp called Miamon, where the police do not have their own police, their own building, and they are sharing with the magistrate's office. Are there plans, provisions? I don't know how frequently this happens in other places in the country. Is it the intention that the police should each have their own building or rent their own separate premises? Another problem we find is there's no accommodation for police in small towns. They often live quite a distance away from the police station. Often, recently, the police have been transferred all over the place, and often they're running two homes. They've got a house where their wife is left behind, and then they don't seem to get any support or custody. While they do get an allowance for the original home, there doesn't seem to be any support for their rental, for the accommodation. If the Commissioner could just comment on that. And then lastly, it was being referred to here, border patrols. We saw frequently on TV, you see them hopping over the border. In fact, it seems as though people can just walk across the border these days. We saw one group where it was filmed just the other night where 50 apparently came over in a group, 50 of them from Zimbabwe, with no hindrance or whatever. They seem to just be walking across there. What are SAS doing? Seem they're taking over from the Defence Force with regard to border patrol. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Darrell West. Can I recognize the Honourable Fielding?
Chairperson to the Commissioner. I came from the Northern Cape, where you got more drugs than people. But nevertheless, you'll remember, see daily, Commissioner, more grants on the ground in Northern Cape is more ravines. That's where I came from, the Northern Cape. But what worries me, Commissioner, every person in the police, whether it's a man or a woman, came out of a community. And therefore, I worry all the years, why are they not accommodation for that people on the ground, whether it's married or not? It's always a problem, and I deal with the problem so long as I am in the government for over 24 years. And that worries me. I came from all the ranks, local, provincial, town, national. And I deal with that matter day by day. And as I arrive in the Northern Cape, they still ask me that question. Why? And then the next question is, Commissioner, if I do oversight visits throughout all nine provinces, I hear the police commissioner say to me on the station, they're using 120 vehicles per station. But in the same time, 10% has formed a scrapyard next to the police station, 10% of that 120. I take photos on every police station where I go, and I got a photo album about that. That worries me. And what worries me more, all the vehicles who is smacked up, as vehicles with low kilos, 50,000, under 100,000 kilos on the clock. And those who got 300,000 kilos on the clock is still in a good running condition. That's what worries me. And the reason why worries me, I'm being due service for the police for 20 years on my garage, repair cars. Those days when I got the state garage permit to work out. I worked it up till 2004. And when I came to Parliament, I left it. And my garage name is Leon's Garage. That's why my name is Leon. So I worked the cars through the years with my towing services and repairs in the Northern Cape. And I never had that type of problem. But after 1996-1998, I saw more cars in the scrapyards on a daily basis. And that worries me. But what worries me more, Commissioner, in the CPX on ground level, you got persons who are on the form, and they got sardines, and they work with sardines. So what did they say though? You get first information, first-hand information, superstitious beings. Therefore, we got the beings in Springbok. And yourself was, you was the one in Steinkopf. It's the same day you visited Mr. Kotze in Port Nullis. Same day you visited the Sabine in Steinkopf. It's a very big Sabine for so many years to carry on. But that smuggling, that Steinkopf, that's in the Makola, and it's on your way from Springbok to Port Nullis. That's my hometown. Yeah. But I will explain later on to the commissioner. I saw you on the ground that day, the two places. Port Nullis in Steinkopf as well. Yeah. But nevertheless, this gentleman carries on for so many years, as you've been, drugs, liquor, and they just carry on. They got a big farm outside the town, they carry on. And it's on the same farm they get that prawns, or what do you call it? Grafis, last time, this big smuggle down there. So that's why a person, if you see persons who are in the CPS, and they do things like that. Commissioner, and then another thing. Every time I go to Springbok or visit the Northern Cape, I get complaints from the ground, and I phone the 1-0-0-1 number. Sometimes you phone for more than an hour, no answer. The next time you phone, the person gave his name, you come back, you say, no, I work in a station somewhere. But they pick up the phone on 101. I believe it's right, because like the nearest station where you are, you phone 1-0-0-1, the police station will pick up. But they never respond. I get the incident last time on the Easter weekend where a guy was thrown with a stone. I phoned the police. 6:15 this afternoon, Saturday afternoon. He told me he don't have a vehicle at the moment. And the next day when he come back from Port Nullis, there was no police. And that the same guy is in bed at the home with a broken leg for 1 month at home waiting for a bed in Kimberley. So that's the type of incidents you get on the ground. So can I carry on, Chairperson, so that I stop. Thank you. It's all.
Well, that was the Honorable Fielding from Northern Cape. Yes. Can I recognize the our last member, Honorable Novello Mac. Mac, we call it.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not throw. The cooler will be not that very hot. Because I need to join my voice with all of those that have congratulated the Commissioner and his detachment, as you say. And especially for spending that budget. I mean, that's very good. It's excellent. And for that I must thank you. Commissioner, there's some things that I need really to be harsh on, and I will be harsh. But I also, the first thing is, number one, there's a lot of positive things that you are doing. Like you have enlightened us. That is good, but we need more of that. Especially to capacitate myself when I go out and speak to people as I want to join the Honorable Mzizi, that we need that information more to turn around that negative perception that is created outside. And as you say, the newspapers are putting all these negative things. But the question is, what are we doing about it? What are you doing about it? And the thing that I want to be awesome is that you are not using us. You are not using parliamentary offices. You are not using MPs by empowering us to go out and assist with positive things in our constituency offices. Constituency offices, parliamentary office, not the ANC's office, as people would like to perceive. because other members from other parties also have these offices. But how do we use that office as a resource to our community to also get information? The second point is, as you all know now, I'm from the Western Cape and I'm from Beaufort West. And to the my honorable comrade from Pondoland in Beaufort West, Dhaka doesn't pass. The police have developed that skill. We'll get them in Beaufort West, even Pale the Moon, just to beware. But in the rural towns, honorable commissioner, you know, resourcing is poor for our police stations. I can name in my constituency all of them, but I will engage in writing with the department on that. But there's one thing that we have failed as a government and department personally. You know, in the old apartheid era, when you enter a rural town, you will see the first thing, the police is the asi, a board. And then you see the other things. And that police station is where it's situated in the center of the town and was protecting a certain groupings of people. It's still the same in rural areas. We have townships in Beaufort West, Redeem, Mandlenkosi. There is nothing, and most of our people, the poor people, are staying there, and that is where the crime is. Now our people have to walk or take a taxi and pay to get to a police station. And to get that service is the same. You will still find in rural areas and in rural police stations racism. And I'll be honest about it. You still find police from certain white policemen that doesn't want to go and work in the other rural area and not in the township. And you still find that. What is being done? We had satellites at some time in Mandlenkosi township and in Redeem. There was a police station. It was degraded, downgraded. The satellite station in the township, it's of no use actually. Our people are complaining. So how do we get that service? How do we shift it from the white town or from the industrial area, the business area, where there is not much crime? Let us identify where it is needed. And that is a big concern for us in the rural. Point three, and now I want to come also to Cape Town, you see, and in general. You'll find still police covering for one another. You know, if a police, one official does the wrong thing, and you go to a police station to report this, there's always some cover-up amongst them. And in the Western Cape, as you've seen, it's beginning to get out of hand. In this way, officials are now trying to assassinate and killing one another. At this stage in Woodstock, I don't know what has happened there, but this killings of policemen. You don't know who's killing who, but why is a policeman shot in a drive-by? Point four, and this comes to with court cases, the relationship with your investigating officers and prosecutors. You know, prosecutors will blame, and magistrates will say, the docket wasn't prepared, the officer investigating didn't give us enough evidence to pursue a case. Do you meet regularly? Do you try to enhance that relationship so that we get better results in court, because the one is blaming the other one to get justice to be served? Then I need to plead with you, especially coming from the Western Cape and for Cape Town. I know you are giving some assistance to our MEC, Ramad Lakhani, and he's doing good, he's doing his best. But tuk-tuk is a hell of a problem. And sorry for that. But it's going to destroy our people in the Western Cape. And it's now not only Cape Town, because they are exporting these organized crime units that you are speaking. They are coming out as far as Beaufort West. They are now spreading to rural areas. And this is a huge problem. I spoke to youth young people last night, and they are not, they don't have the engineer anymore. They are themselves trying to concoct these things now. And it's getting, now you have, at least you have the engineer who knows what he's doing. But now you have people trying to concoct these things with mothballs and jade fruit. This is what I'm hearing. And that is even more dangerous. So the assistance to the Western Cape in regard to the drug problem and the whole gangster drug lord thing is involved in there. And also, this whole tipping started from the legacy of the old Doxiazo. We must admit that there is a problem of alcoholism. And it comes from the Doxiazo. And the whole drinking problem, the abuse of alcohol, is worse in the Western Cape. That we must also say. And it started there because they are experimenting with more drugs. They are creating drugs to get in a more high, and the experiment goes on. So I'm pleading, and if I could know from you, what more assistance would you give the Western Cape? Also, with 2010 coming to Greenpoint, and I want to tell my honourable Comrade Chicheka, I know your viewpoint on the use of drinking, the 2010 viewpoint that you have, and the viewpoint on the three-point ladies and stuff. And I know you were attacked fiercely in the newspapers because of using drinking in public and coming by that when we have visitors. But maybe we must think about it. Maybe we will have to support you in that, because this is not a thing in South Africa. It's happening all over. And people will disagree, but we first need to debate it. You just don't need to shoot something off. Thank you, Jay.
That was the Honorable Novello Mack. As I said, the members have emptied their questions. Maybe a few from this side, because, as I said, there won't be no second round. But my question is, Commissioner, if you don't get into them, I don't mind if you can just send them in writing, so that the members must have the... So this exercise will assist us, because our debate will be soon, early in June. And this kind of interaction will assist members when we debate in the chamber. At least we know what we're talking about. Because, as you've seen, Commissioner, all parties here, they said they are grateful to what we have done and what we're doing. So this will transcend into the chamber, you know. This is what we expect to hear from the chamber, from all parties. After having thanked you that you're doing so well, all of us are going to pass this vote, Honorable Chair. No party said that against what we're doing. So I'm busy making notes. Doctor. Maybe from this side, in our visit, as members, my colleagues rightly pointed out, the problem there is old and dilapidated buildings in many of these police stations. Let me quote just one, Itusang, for example. Itusang in Northwest. I wonder what mother called that thing. I don't know what can you do, Commissioner, if you can just, with your detachment, sit back and try to see if we can reprioritize. And that area, we are told, it's a hub of all criminality today. That you can't call that a police station. It's just something else. It's to say in Northwest. I'm just giving one example. Our buildings are so old and dilapidated. But what we're doing as a committee where we're specialized is that when we visit provinces, we want all the justice cluster departments to be with us. And I always say that is just to correction services. And we are now roped in even public works. the culprit. Because in many of your buildings, they will say, no, it's public works. Now, I don't know, in your forum, we are sitting as DGs and stuff there. I don't know how can you raise this thing and we'll support you. Public works is failing us because many of these buildings are really, there's no renovations, no repairs, nothing. Maintaining them is a way that's not known in that department. And the tarnishing the image of this department doing so well, trying under difficult conditions. But the kind of buildings that we're having in our police stations is really something that you can't write home about. If that can be looked at, there would be very much a big commissioner. Yeah, my colleagues have tried the question of staff shortage. I think I know you will address it. But I want to touch on security in our legislature. I don't know who is in charge of that. Security in our legislature. I wonder how many legislatures have got cameras in the gallery, even in the chamber. I one day walked in this legislature here in the Western Cape. From the road, main road, when you open the door and already you are in the reception of those poor police officers who at times are not even armed, who are looking after MPLs there. The security there, Commissioner, if we don't pay special attention there, one day we'll regret, because really, from the road, from the main road there, when you open already, you are inside this thing. And, I mean, I said to myself, I asked that the poor officer is in that situation. Now, how it works, if he was alone, there was a queue of people. They had to wait, he said, even our computer, it was like the old, outdated computer. He said, no, I had to do this because these are all the things that we have reported, but they're not getting any joy. If you can just try and see how best can you assist there. Is this one here, the other one I went to, Ebisho, we discovered the same thing, to the Pompo, our MPLs, if there is no proper security there, I'm telling you that they're not safe. No cameras, nothing. For example, here, there's no payment that you give a person when you visit the legislature. You get there, they write in a piece of paper, says, okay, go in. No payment that's given to a person, say, no, he's a visitor. Nothing, no payment. They just write their name in a piece of paper, it's so dangerous. If something can be done about that, we'll appreciate it, Commissioner. I'm talking about those surveillance cameras. Yeah. In the media and everywhere, I even said, Pop who commented about it. We'll be glad to hear your Commissioner and your team. About this thing where Popco is saying they are against the department using private security as part of the masses who are supposed to fight crime. Because the minister said, all of us, let's be champion in trying to assist to fight crime in this country. Now, he gave an example of for the private security. You are just giving an example, the minister. I might be quoting him wrong. But that statement has stirred some serious debates where people say, no, the department, if you use private security, it means indirectly you are saying, yes, we are failing, hence we are now making use of this private security to assist in fighting crime. What is your comment about it, Commissioner? We'll be happy to hear that. I wonder if Muzizi or whoever who questioned the what is the policy about people who just who Google drunk in public and just walk around? What is the policy about? Must they be arrested or is it not a crime? Can you arrest these people who are drunk in public? And what's our policy about? Then about the then another one, the 2010 preparedness, our readiness 2010. It was very encouraging to hear how far we have moved as a country and has prepared for 2010. Very encouraging. There's one example I want to give. In one country, let's not name it because they are our friends. During the World Cup, what they do, they will use their big trucks and everybody to go and take all the street kids, all whoever in the streets, lock them in. After World Cup, they release them. Yeah, so that's it. To create an impression that the country is clean, everything is fine. What do you think about this, Commissioner? What do you think about some of these things? Because some of us, we thought, but this is, it's inhuman. But I don't know. Maybe to keep our streets clean, we have to do that, but I don't think that's the line to go. Now, the other one is the... the remuneration of our police officers. They always complain. They said, no, we are in the firing line. But when it comes to remuneration, we are the last lot. We are just becoming the afterthought. I know the commissioner will make us smile. He'll say something about it. And yeah, he'll say something about it. Something very, very positive. That would make our police officers feel happy. Another problem, I thought Honorable Museko would talk about it, but maybe he wanted the chairperson to talk about it. The old demarcation commissioner, you know, were at the station, Mr. Bint, how many cases to the border of Faboroni? Yeah, that was 60. Yeah. I mean, that's still demarcated in terms of the old regime, where a village that was next to the police station cannot be serviced by that particular police station because it is demarcated to serve other people who are far away from it. I don't even know that example, but there are many. When to KwaZulu-Natal, for example, it was the same thing. In your forum, you are sitting, I wonder if you can talk about this thing. Why formal legislation will come? But I think we should make some arrangements. The interim arrangements are the people who are in the particular village. If the police station is accessible to them, like what Honorable Meg was saying, why can't you do this kind of arrangement so that the people get safe, close to the police station where it exists? I mean, that will be good. We'll give our people, you know, some leeway. Now, there is this concern that was raised by the Auditor General Commission that we are unable to monitor the movement of our vehicles to an extent where when people want to get service from our police stations, we can't because vehicles are not easily monitored or controlled. Can we hear something about it? Now, can I talk about the supply chain management? The supply chain management, the policy framework. I'm told the department is still using the old tender system. Why? Why are they using the old tender policy, the supply chain management policy? Why are they doing this? I think it's a long time now, we should have moved away from it up until now. And even the new delegation of authority to provinces, I'm told it's not yet finalized even now. Why? Commissioner Singh, why? Commissioner Singh, why? Up until now. I think it's quite a long time now. We're supposed to have moved far away from now. Now, the other one, as I said, my questions, you might not answer them today because I wanted to concentrate on them by members. Because my come in writing, I won't mind because of time, because as I said, that one went to attend. The firearm control control register, firearm control register. And here, I wonder why, because during this one, I'm told it's not properly maintained or controlled, that register. It's not properly monitored. To an extent where it's, the AG said that it was not monitored or controlled for 2 consecutive years. I don't know how true it is. But it is in the Auditor General's report, is there. The latest release of the Auditor General is there. This concern. Yeah. Maybe let me... No, before that, our CETA, the last one. Your CETA commission. I'm told your CETA in this department, it is 16 months behind schedule. Just in developing a new system. Just to be used to evaluate the DNA. So, but because according to the Auditor General, he said that it is 16 months behind time. So, I don't know, unless if they got the wrong report from the people they were taking information from, but that's what I said. Other than that, Commissioner, as we said, thanks for everything and for whatever. It is time for you now to choose which questions you want to respond to. But the other ones, as you said, they can come and write in one mind. Thanks very much, Your Commission.
Thanks very much. Let me say, Chairperson, I received your letter of gratitude to Commissioner Petra. I did receive your letter after your visit, and I communicated to him. And we appreciated that letter very much. Many of the issues that have been raised here are issues that have to do with service delivery of the police. And maybe sometime we need to sit and talk about this thing called policing in South Africa in its full context. And I'm ready to do this as early as possible if you find time. In the building next door, I've got an office and I've got a boardroom. We can put everything together there, because in my office in Pretoria, the issues that you are raising about the station in Andhuli would appear on a computer system in my office. I would tell you how many police are there without having to travel there. I will tell you how many vehicles are there. I will tell you what's the level of their crimes, all types of crimes. I will tell you how many handcuffs they have, how many bulletproofs they have, how many people did not come to work, were absent from work, sitting in my office. This is a management tool that nobody in the world has, no one, except the South African Police Service. And we did it ourselves. So some of the issues that you are raising about certain specific stations, I can answer all of them. But I don't know if I will have enough time here to answer. But let me just try and deal with these issues, and my colleagues will help me. Examples of indiscipline is a policeman who has been instructed to go to a particular crime scene, doesn't go to that crime scene, chooses to go to a butchery to buy meat. That would be considered an indiscipline. That would be considered a case that internally, as members of the police, we can handle and find that person guilty and sentence him to whatever. A question of indiscipline is a policeman who receives a complaint from a complainant and refuses to attend to the complainant. Those are cases, examples of indiscipline. We can show a lot of them. What has been the effect of the Firearms Act? Is this the Firearms Act? surely that act has had an impact on the circulation of firearms in South Africa. You know, in Bronkhorst Strait, I was there a couple of weeks ago. The station commissioner says, "Commissioner, I need to get additional people to register the firearms that are being brought back by members of the community who say, we don't need this thing anymore. Because to have it, you must have proper eyesight. You must pass this test and that test. So rather than go through all of this difficult process, we're bringing them back." So what it means, there would be less people wanting to have licenses because of the conditions that are attended. There is more people working on this. Our aim, my aim, and I think of the people that were involved in this, is to reduce the numbers of firearms in this country that are in the hands of people who should not have firearms. So the effect of the act has been to begin a process of reduction. And this is very important, because that's the only way we can assure people of their safety. Crime, I think this meeting, we need to organize this meeting in that building, so that it's not me saying it, it's what you will see, that since 2003, the graph of crime in this country is going one direction, this direction. It's not going that direction. Of every, nationally, priority crimes, contact crimes, all of this, you can see that it is going down. It's not going the opposite direction. But I think the best thing is to organize this meeting. I will make this tool available to you so that you can see. You can choose whatever station you want. We will put it there, you will see the graph of the crime in that particular station. You will see whether there is a shortage of vehicles. Any policeman who says, we couldn't go to this crime scene because we did not have a vehicle, is telling you lies. You can conclude that that policeman or woman is lazy. I'm saying we are moving to 37,000 vehicles. As for the detectives who have calculated that two detectives per car. So if there's one vehicle, that vehicle can only take two detectives, not four, two. It is only the people who are doing crime prevention that there will be more of them in a vehicle, and so on and so forth. So, yes, I am not saying anywhere, everywhere in the country it is 100%. There may very well be a station in Chrome Drive which might have three or four vehicles short than. But Chairman, in the distribution of these resources, there are certain considerations that I and my colleagues take into consideration. First thing is areas where the highest incidence of crime happens. That's number one. We look at the levels of crime in any particular area. Before, if we had 100 cars, we would say, in which area do we have the highest levels of crime? And if it's area A, we would say, we will give area A 3 cars. The remaining areas can get 2. We call it positive discrimination, because crime levels in this country are not the same. There's a province called the God's People, Gauteng. It's number one. If you reduce crime in Gauteng, you will have reduced crime by 50% in this country. Followed by KwaZulu-Natal. And number three is Western Cape. So when we have resources, human and otherwise, we will look at Gauteng and say our biggest problem comes from there. Can we give enough resources for that problem? Number two is KwaZulu-Natal, number three is the Western Cape, and so on and so forth. So you might get Northern Cape not having the same amount of vehicles that you would have in Gauteng because Northern Cape has got a lower level of crime. We do this all the time. So we would give more resources to Gauteng than we would give to any other. Just the other day, the management of the police was sitting. We said to ourselves and the groups of people that were recruiting, 11,000. And we say, how are we going to distribute these 11,000 people? So we say, we can't say 9 divided by, 11,000 divided by 9, and therefore say that figure is our distribution pattern. So we said we are going to give more people to Gauteng. And to a lesser extent, the other areas. Now, if you look at the question of the distribution of the detectives that we agreed upon, okay, we then said, let's distribute these people that are coming into the police already before we finish training. So we would say, for police officials, the Free State will get 400 new people, and it will get 250 public service tech personnel, these are civilians. So all in all, Free State gets 650 additional people for this financial year. We say Northern Cape gets 397 police officials, 224 public service officials, we get the number. We then go, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just indicating the way. Gauteng gets 2,500. Police. And the closest to Gauteng is 1,300 goes to KwaZulu-Natal. And the Western Cape gets 800. So in the distribution of the resources, we look at crime patterns, the weight of crime, how it happens in any given area, so that we determine whether we should have more people there or not. Because as I say, we reduce crime in Gauteng by if we reduce crime in Gauteng, we will have reduced crime in South Africa by 50%. So for me, it is important to deal with this thing. How many people do we require? Internationally, there must be one police officer for 400 members of the citizenry. Now, the aim of the South African Police Service is to get to be within the international code. For every 400 citizens, there must be one police officer. Now, currently, in certain areas, we are almost at 1:400. But in certain areas, we are very far. Primarily, Chairman, because the last time you had the census in Khayelitsha, that man of Statistics South Africa and his people counted the people, I don't know what year was it. The last time they had the census. In the meantime, movement of people from the Eastern Cape and everywhere else has moved to the Western Cape. The numbers of the people who were in Khayelitsha at the time has doubled. So if you look at the station there, you would think that this station has got requisite numbers of police officials to police this thing, only to find that the people have increased by 1 million. So, in different areas, we've got 1:400. In certain areas, we don't have that 1:400. So we are calculating to work on this, and we will do this, and we will get to a point where we will be able to ascertain that in all areas, we have one police official to 400 members. How many vehicles do we require? It will be dependent on these sums that we're going to do about how many more people do we need. The more we need people, the more vehicles we've got to get, and we will do this thing. Now, the issues around forensics, I don't know. Me, I thought the forensic labs are decentralized. I know that there is a forensic lab in the Western Cape, there's a forensic lab in the Eastern Cape, and KZN. And in Port Elizabeth, there are labs. Unless by decentralizing we mean that in every station, now that's impossible, or in every region. But in the Western Cape there is, in the Eastern Cape there is, in KZN there is, and Gauteng. The issue around the labs is that nobody must have an illusion that when you take DNA today, we get tomorrow, the results are out. It will never happen. It has never happened. Nobody has been able to do that. This young girl they wrote about, big headlines yesterday, police bungled, Bondi something. She was banned. She was raped and banned to access. So when they took DNA, they needed to take bone marrow from the bone. And it's not DNA that you just collect after a person has been banned. And it was agreed between the parents of that girl and the investigators who took this bone marrow that we will be ready by the 18th of this month with the results. Now this journalist who gets busy about nothing makes a big story about it. Because you can't cheat the root of DNA. You have to build it. You have to let it grow, it must, so that you get to know whether this mother is the actual mother of this child. It's not just to say, we need proof to go to court to say this is the biological mother. Intelligence strengthening, yes, every police officer is an intelligence person. You know, every police officer moves with a black book. Is it blue? Pocket book. Yeah, it's black. Pocket book in their pocket. Everyone. Now that pocket book is meant to jot down anything and everything you see. You see a red car moving around the same place 4 or 5 times. It's the duty of that policeman to write this. When he gets to the station, gives over that information. Yes. We need to strengthen intelligence and the involvement of intelligence in specific areas that I may not want to speak about here because I'll read them in the newspaper and then the programs are messed up. But we have to. Scanning of dockets and those things we do. Powers of province. You want to we'll deal with that later. The issue of shifts, we have made the shifts to be in such a way that they can use any system. Depending on the crime pattern analysis, I may say Hartfontein, I don't want the policeman to come to work at 9 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning. I want the station to be empty. I will only remain with 3 people who are busy at the client service center. May I want them to start at 7:30 every evening, especially in winter, to prevent house robbery. Because the most important thing that we need to do as a service is to prevent house robbery. People can feel unsafe in the street, at the stadium, or from the station, but if they begin to feel unsafe in their own houses, then it means we are in a crisis. So I'm saying we would then deploy these police, all of them, at 7:30 to up till 4 o'clock in the morning, monitoring the streets by air and on the ground. That's what is happening in Hartfontein and many other stations right now, in KwaZulu-Natal, in all of these places that are high crime areas, to reduce the levels of house robberies. Because a house robbery goes with rape, a house robbery goes with murder. So that is the focus of our attention. The intelligence people will work during the day, scout the area, look at kinds of groupings of people. Because you see, the people who get involved in what you call this house robbery, you go to your house, you see a green can of Amstel or anything, you know, green, Sprite, thrown on the lawn outside. No, they are coming. because that cane that is thrown on the lawn is telling the others that the climate is green, you can come in. If you see a red one of Coke or of Amstel, what is this? Black Label. If you see a red one on your lawn outside, know that they know there are people there, they are saying, danger, don't go in. So I'm saying, we are able to do this, to go out during the day and say, they put a green one there, they put a red one there, they put... So the likelihood is that they are going to go here and there and this, and create such organization that we can deal with this thing. The training, the issue of home affairs, that was an organized thing. It's not police who were called in to go to home affairs, and when they go there, they suddenly thought they must put their pocket. It was organized by those police, by the people who went to rob home affairs, by the people who worked at home affairs and security. So everybody was involved. Those police were not called by mistake that they got there. You know. So we do have such incidents. And those are incidents that we have to deal with immediately and eradicate them from our organization. So the home affairs thing, it wasn't a surprise, it was a plain thing. Metropolis, part of the Metropolis working with us is in reality to deal with some of the problems that you are raising. Where clearly these new people into policing do things that would actually put policing in a bad light. And part of them working with us is to try and inculcate these things. The issue of the backlog of licenses, sure there is a backlog of licenses, I don't know how large it is, but it is an issue that we are attending to make sure that the people get their licenses on time. Crime statistics will always be released between August and September, never ever earlier, because any attempt to do that, we will be breaking the law. You see, when the financial year has finished, the Auditor General is given 5 months. 5 months to prepare his report. And we can't release the crime statistics, which is crime information about what's happening in the country, without the input of the Auditor General. So I'm not about to go to the Auditor General that you are now getting 1 month to produce your report. Because that data must be, because it's a report to Parliament, that data must be correct. Any mistake, somebody is in big trouble. So legally and otherwise, it is virtually impossible to try and change. Unless something happens. But the law gives the Auditor General 5 months after the end of the financial year to prepare his report. And our report to you must include the report of the Auditor General. So there is no way of trying to cheat that kind of a system. Surely we have accommodation problems, and which we try and address at all times. I was at St. Goff, I remember that, when we opened the police station there. Surely we will deal with this issue of cars. The problem with the issue of cars is not that they are put there. You see, anybody who takes a car to a state garage to be fixed, he must or she must write a financial authority that I say, fix this car. If this car is 20,000, this department or this unit must pay the garage 20,000. Now what members do, they hold on to their money, they send the cars to the garage because they can't keep them in their building, because they make the building to look ugly. So they send it to the garage. They don't write the financial authority. So the car stands there. The policy that was adopted by me, how many weeks ago? At a management meeting, is that any car that has been sent to a garage and 7 days passes without the garage getting financial authority, I will give the financial authority and I will take that vehicle after it was fixed and send it to where I think it's needed. So it has been agreed, and I assume that people are moving to give financial authority so that the cars are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman, I don't know your time, but there is an issue about stock theft. This is one of the most terrible crimes that people can involve themselves in because it hits at poor people. I don't suppose the people go and steal cows for these big farmers, you know, these big ranch owners. But they go for an old man who's got two cattle. That's the whole sum total of his wealth that he worked for right through his life, and somebody then takes. What we are trying to do is to deal with this issue in an organized way. One of the biggest problems is that there are butcheries that are selling meat very cheap. And unfortunately, as because in South Africa, we all buy from that butchery. If you go to any men's hostel, you go to Mamelodi or Nansfield or any one of these hostels, you'll find people going through a cow there. You even find police vehicles parked there, they buy meat and they roast and they eat with pap. You ask yourself, where does this man own an abattoir? Who sells it? And I say, that's stolen cattle. These are cattle that are stolen and taken to these abattoirs in these farms where they are slaughtered and they are sold as cheap meat, and we go and buy that cheap meat. So we need to move around and have an inspection of all the abattoirs for them to tell us where did they have the cattle that they slaughtered, who did they buy from, and so on and so forth. That's the only way we can stop the issue of stock theft. I don't think they are stealing just to add to their stock. They are stealing because they are selling this to the abattoirs, and the abattoirs sell to us, and we say that's the cheapest butchery in town. And we buy from there. We are attending to that. Part of the problem in the Northwest, police have gotten used to using cars. We have 2,000 horses, right? And you say to deal with stock theft, you are better off on horseback than driving a car. So we say we have 2,000 thoroughbreds. We say, let's give you the horses. Go and use the horses around the border. You will see the cattle, they go through cross and all. No, Commissioner, we need a 4x4. That's the problem. Because they are getting to be sophisticated and they want 4x4s with air conditioning. Because a horse does not have air conditioning. But we will deal with this issue. We will continue to press to give them these horses so that they do this. We have a joint program of stock fighting with the police of Botswana. And if we really organize, we would be able to reduce the levels. We may not, you know, eradicate it completely, but we can do this. The status of our police stations is dilapidated. This is the legacy of where we come from. We all know where we come from. Police stations in the townships were not taken care of. Police stations were taken care of in particular areas where white people were being protected. We didn't have police stations. In the township, you had police stations made out of zinc, if you know. The cells were made out of zinc, the police stations were made out of zinc. What we are trying to do now is to try and reverse that. But it is going to take us a long time, members of this committee. There are 1,136 police stations in this country. Some of them are not worth to be called police stations. We built one in Khalishiwe. That's a police station. We built it, trust building. We built that one in Kwamash. We built. We built one in, where is that place?
Mamelodi East.
We built. So there are those that we built. it means a massive war, mother of all wars, between ourselves and some State Department, because it's their area of work. But we do build. We will be putting the bricks for Kamasemula on the 18th, ourselves. So it's ongoing work. It's slow. It's not as fast as it is. The issues about repairing, we've got to go to another State Department. You see, if you've got a toothache and the other man doesn't have a toothache, if you say, hey, this tooth is painful, that person doesn't get the same understanding. So PWD will never have the same understanding as us when we say we need something to deal with this. The issues around legislatures and protection, we are not responsible for physical security. So how the building looks like, where it is stationed, whether they have cameras and all of these things, it belongs to the legislature. The speaker is the boss. Even here, anything we want to do, the speaker is the boss. If the speaker says, I don't want your people there, there's nothing we can do. So, you know, we are peace-loving and people who follow the law, and so we don't get involved in those kinds of things. Mala, can you answer? The private security issue, I don't know why it's a big issue. It's not a big issue. I think central to what we are trying to do is to mobilize everybody to work with the police, members of the community, anybody who is ready to cooperate with us, to work with us. But I think that there is an exaggeration of this thing. Working with us means you will always work under the command of the police. Never will you work on your own. The reservist system, we say there are reservists. Those reservists can only work under the command of the police. So you're not going to get any other thing different from this. Where people are ready to work with us, whether it's a community, they set up a community watch, is it called? Yeah, community watch. They will work under the direction of the police. It is merely a mobilization thing because we're trying to mobilize all South Africans to stand up against crime. There is nothing new, nothing fantastic about this. It's just that we are mobilizing people to join us in the fight against crime. They will have no powers that they don't have. Powers of arrest stay with the police and they will be executed by the police. Police bail, you want to deal with it? We're over time.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of how we, whether we have an audit and whether we do with and how we distribute our human resources, the vehicle needs, and bulletproof vests, we have something within the police services called Resource Allocation Guideline, and we call that RAG for short. This is a program that we utilize, and I think we're the only country in the world that is using this program, which analyzes the incidence of crime, population density, the terrain of the precinct of the police, the number of crimes that take place, the level of urbanization in a particular area, the geographic terrain, the number of courts in those areas. So all these factors are factored into the system, and it gives us an allocation as to what are the needs of a police station in terms of the vehicles that are needed, the people that are needed, and all allocations, resources, bulletproof vests included. In terms of the question around powers and functions of the provinces, the police is one central unit with one accounting officer who has a lot of the original powers in terms of the Constitution and the SAPS Act. Of course, some of the powers are also attributed directly to the minister. And then it works around a system of delegations. On the issues of appointments have been decentralized to provincial commissioners, so this for levels 1 to 12 in the organization. The decision-making powers around this rest with provincial commissioner. from level 13 upwards, that means the senior management of the South African Police Service, that rests with the National Commissioner. Discipline is decentralized. So we're following a model now with our new disciplinary regulations that discipline must take place, not at a national level, because it is too far removed from where it actually takes place. So it has to be taking place by the immediate commander, and then there's a chain of accountability going upwards. The impact of our restructuring, of course, we know that the main reason for the restructuring was to strengthen the police stations. And if we look at the model that is currently being used, it's to make sure that station commissioners have the maximum amount of decision-making powers so that they can be effective and that they can take decisions and that we have speedy action and speedy service delivery. On the issue of training, I think Commissioner Salebi answered the question about the break into to Home Affairs. The sexual offences, the question on the question on sodomy and rape, I think that still has to come before cabinet and the parliamentary process for a legislative amendment. Currently, what we are doing is registering those as sodomy and indecent assault. The police bail. The police do grant bail, but there are limitations in which they can do that, and they can only do it in less serious cases. In terms of the promotion of police, we have career pathing in the police. We have recently introduced, when we introduced our broadbanding system, a system of progression with the police where they moved up actually one level in the hierarchy. The broadbanding system also makes provision for pay progression for individuals. So every 3 years they move up within a specific level, they move up and get pay progression. Of course, the model that you are talking about specifically, Dr. Van Heerden, refers to the detective environment, and we are exploring scenarios within that model as we speak. Strengthening of our detective unit. We realize that, as the National Commissioner said, that there are shortages of human resources in many facets of policing. But our priority is to resource those 169 priority crime stations. The National Commissioner has taken a decision that 30% of all our recruits, that means in any year we train about 11,000 recruits, 30% of those recruits, when they complete their training, will be allocated in, 40% in the detective services, the forensic lab, and the crime intelligence environment. So that's the mechanism that we are using to push up resourcing in that environment. In terms of the demarcation, SAPS is not doing its own demarcation. We follow the demarcations that are done by local government. So we are just falling in with what is already existing there. We don't do the demarcation. In terms of accommodation, government, although we try, because we need to have personnel sometimes at areas that are very expensive, and police, ordinary police men and women, may not be able to afford accommodation. In those instances, we will try to provide accommodation. But in most instances, provision of accommodation is actually the responsibility of the member. What we are increasingly trying to do now is to make sure that members are recruited from the areas in which they live to reduce the pressure that we have on accommodation. I think the issue of what are we doing to change the perception of people about policing, the National Commissioner has had extensive discussions with our communications department. And just last week they presented to us a communication plan for changing public perceptions about policing and more proactive marketing of what the police are doing. And I've taken note of the comments of using this vehicle also to proactively market policing services, and we will feed that back to them. on the remuneration of police officers. Anyone that complains of any policeman or woman that complains about the remuneration is really being unfair to the National Commissioner, because I think he's the biggest campaigner for improvement in the conditions of service of the police. Ever since he has been the National Commissioner, there's been three special dispensations for the police, which means that the police now, for an equivalent level anywhere else in the public sector, earns far more than any other public servant in the public sector. And that's including allowances for danger, it's including the death grounds. And just to give you an example, on the 1st of April 2005, police got progressed 8 notches of their salary. On the 1st of July 2005, they got a 1% pay progression. On the 1st of July, we implemented a broadbanding where they translated and they moved up, a total cost to the organization, 452 million. The 1st of July 2006, they got a 4% pay progression. For every 3 years, they will then get this 4% pay progression. So they are considerably better off than their counterparts in the rest of the public service. In terms of the delegations are something that's being continually revised and something that we look at continuously. The delegations, you would understand that we are currently going through a decentralization process of strengthening police stations. And as we begin to unroll that process, delegations will have to be looked at afresh. So those delegations, even in 3 months down the line, will have to be revised once we look at how what powers and functions we want to put to police stations.
Yes,
yeah,
I think we're finished. There's a question that I have not answered on purpose about 2010 drunkenness and prostitution. Chairman, the reason why I did not answer that question, I had intended to get people to think about this issue when I said it in some committee. The problem is that the way it was reported created problems for me when I got home. I had an old lady standing there in front of me and asking me, "What's wrong with you? Why do I hear these things about you?" So I seriously want us to think about this thing. How are we going to approach this? The reality is that people are going to drink in the streets. The reality is that we will be having this event. We must find a way. The reality is that there will be people who are selling their bodies at the time. The law says it's a crime. How are we going to deal with this thing? I am not advocating prostitution. I am saying we have a practical situation. I'm leading the police. I must tell them what to do on that day. Our preparations for 2010 World Cup are number one. Nobody else can teach us anything about that. We know better. We have been to Germany. We have seen what they did. As I said, we come from West Indies. We know precisely what we are going to do. Thanks.
Yeah, it is clear that we need another session where we are going to talk, you know, about unpack some of these things. But we're grateful to the Commissioner and his team for this. Before I allow Honorable Sello to thank the Commissioner and his team on our behalf, I'll allow the Commissioner if we have any parting shots. But we're all welcome for our sumptuous lunch here in the restaurant here. It's clear, colleagues, I think you agree with me that we need another session. Talk about many of the things. We did not even touch the budget, per se. It's a flat plan that we're talking about, but the budget will not even, we'll even get there.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, we'll thank the Commissioner and the team for the informative engagement that we have had. Of course, this thing we don't do it more often, therefore there might be a lot of issues to be raised because the system might be blocked because of that. As we have agreed that we'll continue engaging, because I think one of the people that you have to, the first point of call, we have to market the police, are with these members here. Because they address quite a lot of people, a number of people that they engage with on a daily basis. Therefore, talking to them about your service, what is being done by the police is helpful. If they don't know, they join the queue of listening to the public opinion, which is not helpful. With those words, we hope that Commissioner will build more closer relationships from now henceforth. Thank you very much for being here. And to the members, thank you.